This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, 707, text line. Just say Kuminga's gone next year. Warriors have wasted his career. It's interesting. I see that quote a lot. Warriors have wasted his career. First of all, he's 22 years old. His career has not come into full focus yet. But for me, the hardest part of having a conversation about this is just that. It's just that. The Warriors acquired a player that has now vaulted them from a 25-26 basketball team to go 22-7 since then, currently sit in a playoff spot with an opportunity over the next about 55 hours to go out there and secure a playoff spot and give Steph Curry a chance to do something just astronomically special. That's what they've done. And somehow this is getting processed by some as wasteful or wrong or you've blown it. I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how to get this conversation into a spot where people are, I think, like getting back to rooting for the Warriors to win basketball games. You know, if anybody feels that way, I'd honestly love to hear from you. Like, why aren't you just rooting for the Warriors to win games when you watch them play? Why would you watch? Why would there be any other goal? I don't know. What's the goal? What's the goal when you watch the Warriors?
You want them to win.
I have no box score goals. None. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. None. For minutes, for points. I want the turnover number to be as low as possible. I have no box score goals. Ever. When I watch them play.
Just right, but
score more points than the other team.
But when they don't, that's when fans look at the why. And a lot of times when fans look at the why, they look at the who, and they think, well, if you would just play JK, and last year and earlier this year it was, if you would just play Moses Moody, why can't Moses get in there and cook? Let Moses cook. So I do think you're right for most fans, but when they lose, you look at the box score and you figure out who could have been in there to make it so they maybe would have won.
But the box scores are so much better now than they used to be.
They are, but still, when you have a game like against San Antonio, when you lose, you look at the box score and you think, why did they lose? And, you know, you look at, and you could blame anything you want. You could blame Moody and Pods for having down games, and that's fine. You can do that. I look at the actual game, and I see your stars, all three of them, who didn't make plays late in the game, but a lot of it comes down to JK. And the texter, that was interesting the way they put that of like, you know, just hurry up and get rid of him in the offseason. They ruined his career. Well, I do think that they will, quote, get rid of him in the offseason, but I don't think that they've ruined his career. I don't think that he'll be back next year.
You don't?
No chance.
No chance?
Well, of course, there's a chance.
Why do you say that?
Because he doesn't fit. And if he doesn't fit, then he must sit. And that's what has happened. And I look at and think about what Steve Kerr said.
No,
and he played
still,
the cut.
Yeah, he's
about
still playing.
Sure.
He's still playing, and I mean,
he's playing 18 minutes a game.
Right, and then and you need those players. Like, eight nights ago, he had a profound effect on a huge win.
Right.
Profound effect on
a
huge win.
8 nights ago.
Yes.
So, once in the past week. Well, and if you take the premise that Steve Kerr laid out of, you know, Jimmy, Draymond, and Jonathan Kuminga, they don't really play well together. And if two of those guys are coming back next year, and I presume that they both are, they're both under contract, and Draymond plays 30 minutes a night, and Jimmy plays 35, where does JK then fit going forward?
I mean, literally exactly what he's doing right now. I mean, I choose to actually look at this as maybe this is a wonderful thing. I don't know if Jonathan will feel
exactly
that way.
Exactly. Right. But this is wonderful for them.
It's going to make him cheaper.
Right.
And
cheaper if nobody else wants to give him $20 million. If the Warriors want to offer him 3 years, if they want to give him the Moses Moody deal, 3 years and 39.
Well, no, it's going to go more. Yeah, it'll be higher than that. It's going to be higher than that.
Who's been better this year? Who's been more impactful this year?
No, it depends on which window of the year you're talking about.
I'm talking about the whole year. And I know JK missed 30-plus games because he was injured, but right now, both are healthy. One guy is cemented as a starter, and he plays 30 minutes a night, and the other guy is getting eighth man minutes.
The answer is Moses based on the time where the Warriors really, really started to boogie, you know? So, yeah, the last 30 games, the Warriors have played much better. Those have been decisive, and the answer during that window is Moses. And Jonathan was hurt for half of that window as well.
Right, but who fits more going forward? Like, forget the salary and the contract situation.
Well, they both fit. They just
But who fits better?
Well, they fit. It depends on, again, they both fit.
Steph, Draymond, and Jimmy. Who fits best with them? To me, it's Moses than JK.
Moses, but that's not the whole game. And actually,
I get that,
know what I mean? If you're looking, if you're going to go to next year, you're talking about three players past 35. Like, what are the chances that one of them or multiple of them will miss an extended period of time here or there? And if that happens, then I think you really, really want that guy on your team. I don't want Jonathan Kuminga to not be on the team.
Well, I don't want that either. I think the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, maybe.
Honestly.
Maybe. You might be right.
Yeah.
I'm going to hope right now that what this does is maybe it keeps his number at a very manageable number and the Warriors sign him to that.
Yeah.
That's my hope.
Manageable for them, not manageable for him. And this
maybe not.
I would imagine that Jonathan Kuminga sees himself as a guy who is worth more than $15 million a year.
He doesn't have any leverage here. He doesn't get to just leave if he wants to.
You know, what another team will offer.
Right, which we've been told constantly that no one has any money to spend this offseason.
Well, $40 million a year, no, but another team I'm sure has $20 million to give him.
Well, 20 might be that the Warriors might do that.
They might not, because if you're the Warriors and you go into next year thinking that, okay, this Jimmy, Draymond, Steph thing, it looks like it might work, and what we need is another $20 million player who is a ready-made vet, a cookie-cutter insert guy, as opposed to a 22-year-old question mark?
Maybe, but then again, you do have to keep in mind that contract, the length of it, is probably going to span beyond the careers of the big three. Potentially.
Right. So, I mean, fully believe in Jonathan Kuminga, then you will sign him to a long-term deal and you will.
I mean,
I don't believe that they think that.
Joe Lacob, I mean, it wasn't that many months ago that he just said it. He's like, we love the guy. Of course we're trying to keep him.
Right. But they didn't. I mean, they didn't sign him.
Well, I mean, I don't think that that's. I mean, he was.
They signed Moses.
He's hurt. Right. That was before the year.
Right. They didn't sign Kuminga.
No.
They could have. They were allowed to.
I don't know what he was asking for. Like his.
Well, whatever they offered, he did not accept.
His price has dropped
dramatically.
There's no question.
Right.
So now you have a new conversation.
Yeah, I just don't.
Warriors actually played that pretty well, I would argue.
But depending on what eventually happens, another team can offer him a certain amount, and the Warriors can say, nah, no thanks, and you could lose him for nothing.
Maybe.
So
maybe
we don't know how they, played it yet.
The bottom line is they did not pay for a player a number that he has been proven since then to not be worth. And I actually hate saying it that way.
Yeah.
The market will not call for what he asked for at the beginning of the year that the Warriors wouldn't pay. So therefore, I mean, make it like anything at the store, right? Like, do you want this shirt? Well, I don't want it for $89. Well, now here we are 4 months later. Now it's $49. You want it?
If only it went that way. Well, now it's actually $149.
Well, that's what just happened. That's what just happened. So they did. They played it well. They did not buy when it was at its height. Now it's lower. I don't know how much lower. I don't know what anyone else wants to offer.
We'll see how they played it. I don't know yet if they, quote, played it well or not.
Well, again, they didn't pay for something that is not, the market is saying, is not worth that. Deborah in San Leandro. Hi, Deborah. Thanks for calling.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Good discussion on Jonathan.
Thanks.
I like Jonathan, but Jonathan didn't start playing basketball until late in life compared to these other guys, right? He and Moody came in at the same time. He still seems to have trouble grasping the offense and different things. So I would like to keep him, but I don't want to pay a lot of money. And actually, I don't think he's worth more than Moody because he hasn't shown more than Moody. But that's my take on it. I like the kid, but he just doesn't grasp certain things. Even in the defensive aspect as far as team defense, the rotation, I see other people telling him where to go still. And he should have that part. Doesn't matter who you're playing with, you should know that defensive rotation. So that's my take on Jonathan.
Deborah, thanks. I mean, the other side to the conversation is that he does have some skills that the Warriors really lack and are probably going to need at one point or another going forward. So this all comes down to dollars and cents. I have no idea what someone else wants to offer. I do think the Warriors still like Jonathan Kuminga. I think they'd like to have Jonathan Kuminga on the team. It'll come down to what anyone else is willing to offer. But he doesn't get to leave just because he wants to. I'll keep stressing that. So, you know, that's in the Warriors' corner right now. We still got plenty of time for your phone calls. Where your confidence level sits. Sure, Wednesday was a bummer, but here they are. We head into the final weekend of the regular season, and the Warriors control their own destiny for a playoff spot. So, did Wednesday shake your confidence at all, or are you still right where it was? 888-957-9570. We'll get to your call shortly. Zena Kata of NBC Sports Bay Area is going to join us here in just a handful of minutes. We're sponsored by the San Francisco International Airport, and this is Willard and Dibbs.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Confidence not shaken at all. I don't know, have you officially voted and answered that so far today?
It's none of your business. How dare you ask me how I voted?
I actually think it's totally my vote. Well, I don't see an I voted sticker on your chest.
It's funny because
where's that?
I have a ballot at home for a local ordinance, and my wife's like, yeah, we got to do this weekend so you and I can vote together. And I said, you don't tell me how I vote.
Oh, God.
And she said, oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, she's your wife. Yes, she does.
I said, yes, dear. I did vote, and it's actually, the poll is running almost 50-50.
Is your confidence shaken?
Shaken, but not stirred, yes.
So you voted
yes? Like a martini.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little shaken.
Come on, man.
You lost to the Spurs at home.
All right, let's welcome Zena Kata into the conversation,
I've been
okay?
dying to talk to Zena Kata.
Yeah, Zena, I think, man, we've been talking about and efforting for some time to have her on the show, and now is our moment. River Island's guest line. Zena Kata, who will be handling both pre and post on NBC Sports Bay Area tonight for the Warriors versus the Blazers. Zena, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I'm also taking one of your statements there, shaken but not stirred when it comes to confidence. I like that. I like that a lot.
Is that how you're feeling? are you? Did Wednesday shake your Warrior confidence a little bit?
No, I feel the same about the Warriors. I think right now the Warriors have always been a team that will absolutely tear up a series, but absolutely will F up a one game like situation. And that's why they must stay out of the play-in. You just never know what can happen on night in, night out sometimes with the Warriors. But once they make it to a series situation, which, you know, you hope they went out and get to the sixth seed so they can avoid that, you know, you got Steph Curry, put my money on that, and they will find a way to scheme and adjust out of the series for sure.
I think Dibs wants to ask you something, but I'd like to jump in and say that might be one of the strongest opening statements by anybody who's ever been on this show as a guest before. Just okay. Walked right in here and talked about the Warriors effing stuff up. That was incredible.
Yep.
Well, I mean, we've seen situations all season long where it's like Warriors have found themselves in trap games and teams coming out. Everyone always says the stars are bright in L.A. People show up for the Lakers. People show up for the Warriors, too. And people always want to show out against Steph Curry and the Dubs. And that's what puts them in these kind of precarious situations in which if you let someone hang with you for long enough, they might be able to close the game. And this is one of the reasons why I was asked on pregame, postgame with Bonte and Mully, you know, what are your thoughts after this amazing record? Warriors are 22-7 since Jimmy has arrived, I believe 22-6 now when he's playing. And I've reserved my judgment. It's great. Record's great, but like let's do our due diligence. Who have they really been playing that's been fully healthy, that's been, you know, above 500 team, that's been a true contender? And the first game we really got to see an example of that was this in this past week. And of course, Lakers game, you know, performed well. Memphis performed well. Denver performed well. Houston, when things got exposed a little bit, and then now against the Spurs, you saw, okay, there might be some offensive issues here that have got to be figured out before the playoffs. So those one-night games, just the March Madness type of games, is when I'm like, ooh, Warriors, what's up? But in a series, I feel like the Warriors always find a way to adjust and bounce back.
You mentioned the offensive woes, and so you being a former baller, when you watch this team, what do you see offensively that makes it so they sometimes are challenged?
Spacing. I mean, that's the name of the game in the NBA these days. That's why these big wings are so preferred as, you know, prospects and people that you want to get on your roster, because usually that means you have size, but you also have someone that can shoot the ball outside. And right now, you know, it's been 13 games since JK has come back. And JK is not a predominant three-point shooter. He was clicking on it before he went out, but it's not his main game. His main game happens to mirror almost exactly the new addition that came while he was out, which is Jimmy Butler. And so you've got two players that are on the wing that prefer to drive in, that prefer to work in the mid post, that prefer to work in the post, take their defender to the basket. And usually that works if the other can space. Right? Like if you can play off of each other, and that's why you saw some success with Andrew Wiggins and Jonathan Kuminga, because even though their games matched in that way too, Andrew Wiggins could step outside and shoot as well. And so right now you're seeing and Steve Kerr talked about this today, you're seeing the spacing with a Draymond Green who can shoot the three. It has done really well this season shooting the three, but it's not his number one option. You're seeing Jimmy Butler, who is capable of shooting the three. He hit two last game, but that's not his number one option. And you've got Jonathan Kuminga, who's capable of shooting the three, but that's not his number one option. All three of those players, for differing reasons, want the ball in their hands and need it for a moment to be able to make a decision on what they're going to do. And usually that first decision for Draymond, it's usually pass, find an open teammate, and get an offense going. For Jimmy, it's face up, look at your defender, what's going on. Same thing with Jonathan Kuminga. And so when you've got three players on the floor that need the ball in their hands for just a little bit to make a decision, and it's usually within the arc, that's really tough for offenses to be able to get going, because defense will sag in, make everything tough in the paint, and it's hard to get flow and fluidity to your offense when that happens.
Yeah, that's really good breakdown. Zena Kata of NBC Sports Bay Area is with us here on Willard and Dibs. I don't want to jump past tonight, but I think the head of a Warrior fan is thinking about both of these games as like their own entity. And I'm looking at the Los Angeles Clippers right now. They had a three-game losing streak that ended on March 4th, and since then they've lost a total of three basketball games, and two of them were to Oklahoma City and Cleveland. What kind of a problem is that team for the Warriors on Sunday?
Oh, they're the problem that the Warriors have faced all season and struggled against. Like, if we're being candid, like, tall, athletic, long defenders, wing-oriented teams. That's what the Clippers are. You got Derrick Jones Jr., Kawhi Leonard now back in the mix, scoring at ease and, you know, bolstering their defense. Got Chris Dunn, unbelievable defender, can switch 1 through 5. And James Harden, who, for everyone that remembers James Harden of the Houston lore, like, very different, but also same James Harden in that he's scoring, but also playing defense and also leading his team in deflections. It's a really well-rounded team. And then, of course, the big issue, the size inside. Vita Zubac, one of my favorite bigs in the league, probably my favorite big in the league. He's just so efficient inside and so conditioned. I mean, that man can play significant minutes night in, night out, and can tear up the inside and gives Draymond Green problems usually. So this team is a problem on defense and they're a problem on offense because of the scoring capabilities they have in Harden, Leonard, and I didn't even mention Norman Powell included in that list. So it's tough, but again, my thing is what the Warriors have is intelligence. And one of the things I've always loved that Draymond Green said recently about playing against a coach like Ty Lue. He's always said this, but he said this recently in an interview with Marcus Thompson at The Athletic, that he loves going up against Ty Lue because it's like a chess match. And it's kind of like, how can I counter this? How can I blow things up? And that's the advantage that the Warriors are going to have going into this Clippers game, is that they know their opponent. They know what, you know, how they want to score. They know they've seen James Harden a million times. They've seen Kawhi a million times. They know how these players want to get to the basket and find their buckets. And so I this is going to be like a playoff preview, like a little appetizer to the playoffs. It's going to be a really good chess match.
Big time appetizer, but hopefully it's not the main course because, you know, for the Warriors, it's really important for them to get the top six. When you look at their prospects, Zena, no matter who it is that they face in the first round, how important is it to you that they avoid the play-in and extra basketball leading up to the actual playoffs?
It's really important. I mean, they need it. I don't want to call them old, but the fellas are old. You know, they need the rest. They need some time for Steph to get some ice on those knees and just to be a little, just to have a little bit of rest before they go into what will be a grueling playoff series. I don't know if you guys watched the games last night between both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference.
Oh, yeah.
My God, like, it's about to be a battle in both conferences. It's been so much fun watching basketball this season across the league, but the competition is stepped up on a different level. Defenses are better. Everyone's scheming better. Everyone's just making really great adjustments. And so I think as much time as you can give yourself to prepare for that battle, like, the better. And so I think it's very, very important that they get themselves out of the play-in. And I absolutely think they're capable of it. It will require them to show up tonight against a very good defensive Portland team that's been playing really well in the month of March and in April. Have, again, tall, long, athletic wings. And this will be a nice little warm-up to the Clippers game. And then closing things out on home court against the Clippers, luckily for the Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies lost last night. And that means they can control what's going to happen with their season if they win these two games out and at least get that six. It's hugely important.
Zena, I'd argue, you know, you're talking about the competitiveness of what we're about to see in the playoffs. I don't know that I can remember, certainly not in recent memory, a Western Conference that stacks up like this. You could convince me of almost anyone in the top eight beating anyone in round one. Like, maybe not if, like, let's say Memphis takes on OKC, but outside of that, everything feels like a coin flip.
Yeah, you know,
That would be a really good. I need to look up that stat on how all of these teams have fared against each other throughout the season. Like if everyone's won at least once, or you know, I want to think because that's. Oh yeah, that's a good stat. I got to look that up before tonight's show. Actually, I don't know how all these teams have fared up against each other, like all around. But you're absolutely right on any given night, and that's why series are series, and that's why I love series because it's one thing to be in the play-in, and you know, let's say the top of the Western Conference was in the play-in, like you genuinely don't know what's going to happen on a given night. But in a series, that's when savviness comes out. That's when veteranship comes out. That's when who's been here before gets revealed. And that's where I feel like that certain teams are going to have an advantage in that regard. OKC, absolutely. I'm sure they are tired of going to the Western Conference and losing. Like they've been building up to this moment. And I know that, you know, Dagnall and his crew are going to be making sure they can make the adjustments. Houston, a little new to this in terms of the players. Ime Udoka obviously has had his success with Boston and such, but this will be interesting to see how they adjust within a series. Of course, we know what the Warriors are capable of. We know what Ty Lue is capable of at the Clippers. This haven't seen the Lakers in this form, but we know the players that are on the Lakers have absolutely been to the playoffs and know what that looks like. So that's what makes it even more competitive is that a lot of the players involved in the Western Conference have all been there before in this position of pressure and need to perform across the course of the series. So yeah, I can't remember either the last time it's been this exciting, but I ain't complaining.
Yeah, us either, and we're hoping that the Warriors can get in and, you know, make some sort of a run. Maybe not a deep run, or a deep run would be great, but when you look at how teams have done against other teams in terms of the Warriors, do you have to kind of draw back and look at what the Warriors have done since they got Jimmy Butler? How much of a different team is this to where these past performances don't really apply?
Ooh, yeah. Going into the playoffs, you do want to factor in momentum. You do want to factor in, like, what have you done for me lately, Miss Janet? But
nice.
I just feel like it's also a matter of who have you played lately. And so I'm looking at the momentum. I'm looking at what this team has looked like since Jimmy Butler has arrived. But I'm also looking at the caliber of teams that they've faced. And like, where were these players, you know, were these players healthy? Were they just coming back off of injury? Like, what were the factors that were at play in this role that the Warriors have been on? And that makes me more hesitant to just look at this segment of the season and more reliant on what have they done for the course of the season. One thing I'll tell you is that 12-3 at the beginning of the season, don't ignore that. That was, that is where you cannot, like, the numbers they were putting up, the threes they were putting up, like, that's not even realistic. I think you really do have to look at how they were performing in December, in January, and then balance that with what they've been doing lately. And what I would say is, the biggest thing you'd like to see going into the playoffs, especially when it comes to end of game situations, et cetera, they've found a way to get to the free throw line and they found a way to hit free throws. That's huge. That's huge in any big time of game situation, playoff series, et cetera. That's huge. Two, there's consistent across whether it's that period before Jimmy or now, defense has been consistent. That's huge as well. And then the other thing is they found new bodies to throw at folks. Now, Quentin Post has been out. I've not checked the injury report, but I don't know if he's going to be out.
I don't think they've announced anything yet. I think both of them remain questionable at this hour, Zena.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So, but you think about the fact that the Warriors have found new bodies within their roster to throw at people. This is very, very reminiscent of what they did with Jonathan Kuminga last year, where you almost find a free agent within your bench. And so you're seeing Moody become a defender, a point of attack defender, a big time defender for them off of their bench, rolling into the starting position. Quentin Post being a spacing big, that's huge. Gui Santos getting more minutes in general, being an energizer bunny all over the boards, et cetera. So those are the things that I would look at to balance before Jimmy and during Jimmy to not put too much emphasis on what's happened recently, But not to completely ignore it either, because 22-7 is nothing to scoff at.
Not at all. Hey, Zena, thanks so much. Fun to have you on, and have a great show tonight.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate you guys. Yes, everyone tune in, NBC Sports Bay Area, 6 p.m. I'll be with Bonte and Mully.
Okay, nice. Okay. Yep. We're going to send them your way. Thank you very much. Zena Kata, NBC Sports Bay Area, joining us here on Willard and Dibs as we get ready for the game in Portland tonight. A must-have, obviously.
It's important. You know, if you lose, you're still allowed to play Sunday. And if you lose that one, you're going to be in the play-in. So it's a big game. It's made bigger by the fact that you didn't handle business against San Antonio. You were favored by 17 or 17 and a half, depending on where you shop. And tonight's almost as big, 14, 14 and a half, whatever the number is, depending on where you find your lines for the game. So go out there and give an effort. Don't be tired, and don't let Portland hang around like you did against San Antonio.
All right, we got just a little bit less than an hour and a half to go, basically, in our programming in the NBA regular season. That's where we're sitting right now. So whatever your confidence level is, whatever it is you want to get out about Warrior basketball, this is your chance, okay? 888-957-9570. We have a totally clear runway all the way up until 6 o'clock. This will be your last NBA regular season take, period. So what is it? What is it with regard to your confidence in the Warriors, somebody you'd like to see play more, somebody you'd like to see play less, the matchup that you want to see them have or not have in the playoffs? We're going to just kind of open the board to you here on Willard and Dibs. 888-957-9570, heading for this game in Portland tonight. Let's go to the coach in Vallejo. Hey, coach, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, Mark. Hey, Dibs. How you doing?
Good, coach.
I have a couple of things. Number one, you know, when the young lady that called earlier, she has a right to her opinion, but I've never seen anyone telling JK on the court where to go and all this type of stuff. I don't know what game she's watching. But also, too, you know, I think to answer your question why we just can't root for the Warriors and have this JK thing, well, a lot of us feel, there's a segment of us feel that Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody both were not given the opportunity in the first couple of years. And you know that. You know there's a lot of us that feel that way. So we do feel for Jonathan Kuminga. Now, also, far as him not having basketball experience, Jonathan Kuminga's been playing basketball since he was 6 years old. If you ever interview him, he'll tell you that. So he's got a lot of basketball experience under him. He may not have college basketball. Now, there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame that came straight from high school and played great basketball. Oh, well, we can even look at LeBron James. So I think it's a misnomer saying he doesn't have any basketball experience. That's what he has. He didn't sit down in history class.
But, Coach, you know what people mean by that. Like, there's, first of all, it's a higher level of organized basketball experience where the coaching is just different and the game planning is just different. And by the way, though, to your point, I don't know if we're even really in that conversation anymore with Jonathan Kuminga. I think now the conversation does come down to what Steve told us yesterday. You've got three big names on this team, and when two of them are on the floor, it kind of prevents Jonathan from being out there. And you can feel bad for him. You can do all of those things, but it is what it is, and the Warriors have played really well with this new lineup. So he does feel kind of boxed out, but I'm with you. Like, he's been a Warrior for 4 years. I do think that sometimes we talk about him as if he's got very little experience, and it's not true. He's been in the NBA for a long time.
And Mark, as you well know, he played well when the Warriors beat Boston. He came in and he was one of the primary defenders, you know, on Tatum and Brown. And who could ever forget that epic dunk he put on Tatum in the game? So the guy has skills now. Maybe he doesn't have the outside shot, but I don't think his market value is down at all. I think a lot of teams value him higher than what the Warriors do. Okay, so I think that he's going to get offered a very large contract, and it's going to be up to the Warriors to match it or not. So that's where I'm at with that. But thanks a lot for taking my call.
Coach, yeah. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah, appreciate that.
As for the contract and the offseason, I'm really kind of stuck in the middle on that because a really high contract offer would have to come from a team that A, loves him, and B, has a lot of room under the cap. And I don't know if those two teams align. And secondly, I don't know what that market is going to be.
Yeah, I'm with you completely. I don't even know how the hell we can know what's going on with the market. We can tell you what has been told to us by those who are further experts on it than we are. Do you remember what our eyebrows did when Bobby Marks came on the show and started talking about somewhere between 25 to 30?
Oh, yeah.
And at that time, we were like, whoa, they could get him for that low?
Yep.
Everybody was thinking 35 or 40, and that's what Jonathan wanted, and that's the max for a player from his year and all of those things. The idea of being able to get him for under 30 was like, ooh, could they get him for under 30?
Right.
Now you're looking at a guy who had a very significant injury and with this particular group is having a hard time getting to 20 minutes a night. And whatever you think about that, I'm sorry, it depresses the value.
It does.
It just does.
Well, and I do think that his value here is depressed in that it doesn't seem like Steve Kerr is encouraged to play him with Draymond and Jimmy at the same time, and those guys are both going to be here. So if you want to talk about his market here, that market has been depressed. How does the rest of the league feel about him? Well, we won't know that until the offseason.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, and my goodness, we are here for your phone calls, okay? Let's ride 888-957-9570. We are taking your calls next. We are taking your calls all the way until 6 o'clock when we hand it over to Grandy and Warriors Live. This is it. This is our final hour of regular season radio here on 95.7 The Game. So what did Wednesday do to your confidence? Who do you want him to play? Who do you not want him to play? What do you want to see the team do the same, do differently? It's all on the table. Your calls next on Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Jerry Stackhouse. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Thanks, Stack. You didn't like that one?
Oh, what happened?
You didn't hear that?
I heard it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a Friday. I'm not going to let Jerry Stackhouse, who doesn't know one of my picks, try to get to me.
I mean,
shake me.
He doesn't need to know your picks.
Yeah?
He's trying to avoid them.
He should. Yeah.
The Noes have it at this hour. We're not done yet, but the Noes have it. After Wednesday night's loss to the Spurs, has your confidence in the Warriors wavered at all? 55.8% on Twitter say no, and 44.2% say yes. That's currently the polling in our Engaging Dub Nation poll on Twitter on game days, brought to you by Shane Co. And so it's a close one. It's a close one. I don't know. I might be shaded and jaded because of our conversation with Steve Kerr. And for me, again, yesterday, what really struck me was how relaxed he sounded. And I know that this is his job and all of that, and he's seen everything in the NBA. But here's Steve Kerr with regard to sort of the idea that Wednesday might have shaken their goal.
The NBA, you know, it's not like we were a great team in Phoenix and all of a sudden got bad. It's just, you know, everybody can play, everybody can shoot. The modern NBA, man, the shooting variance is crazy. So you just got to keep moving forward.
He had this to say as well.
Yes, we made some mistakes down the stretch, but that's part of the game. I made some mistakes. I could have done better myself. We all are in this together. And, you know, as much as you hate to lose that game, given its importance, you look at how San Antonio played, making 18 threes, seven of them in the fourth quarter alone. You have to give them credit. You can't just expect to
to win games. Now, we did not play well, there's no doubt, and we missed a lot of shots. But this is all part of an NBA season. You take the whole 82 and you add them up at the end, and I'm very confident that we're going to take care of business here in the next couple of games.
Yeah, I got a feeling in the belly the Warriors are going to be locked in and dialed in later on tonight in a game that's going to get started here in just over a couple hours, and then it's going to bring a very dramatic situation to the table on Sunday here at Chase Center at 12:30 with the Clippers in town, and we'll kind of see where it goes from there. But yeah, the more I was thinking about this, I just kind of got to the point where I'm like, we probably shouldn't be so in the moment. Staying in the moment is a good thing, but if you just step back for a minute, I had sort of forgotten that 3 months ago we sat here, not even 3 months ago, 2 months ago.
Right.
Exactly
right.
2 months ago. What the Warriors have as we start this night is exactly what we were praying for, exactly what we were hoping for. Any one of us would have taken this if offered. And so, sure, Spurs game was disappointing. By the way, even if you had won it, you still needed to go out and win tonight as well, and you may have needed to win on Sunday too, for all we know. So, I don't know. The further I get away from that game, I still look at what they've achieved over the last week, over the last month, over the last two, and I feel pretty strong about where they are.
I feel good about where they are, but I'd feel better if they would have won against San Antonio. You'd be tied with Denver and the Clippers, which means if you beat the Clippers, then you could have jumped ahead of them. You could have been the five, and you would have had a chance at the four, and you would have had an outside shot at the three had you beaten San Antonio. Well, now the three is off the table, and you're a game back of the four and the five, and so that looks a little unlikely. So, yeah, I still feel good about the fact that they're most likely going to be, I think, six or seven. It would be tough for them to be eight unless they lost tonight and then lost on Sunday. And, yeah, so my confidence is not totally shaken. I do think that it was a little disturbing when you see them lose to Houston the way they did. Okay, fine. Tired, long road trip, gauntlet, whatever you want to chalk it up to. And then you had San Antonio, a team that was undermanned, and you went out there and you didn't handle business. So that one, to me, is a lot more alarming than the Houston loss. And the fact that it came in game 80 is a little bit disturbing.
Yeah, it was. Look, I called it the worst loss of the year. It was a big bummer. But I also, it's funny, we are exactly a week removed from what I would argue was a 27-hour period where the Warriors did the two things that we were asking them to do. That's it. The number one and two thing that we wanted them to do. Will you please show us that you can beat the Lakers and the Nuggets? Remember how many people, since Jimmy Butler's arrival, people, you're building a record against crappy teams. Wait until they get their comeuppance. And the number two teams that we would hear all the time, oh, I don't want to see them in the first round. It was the Lakers and the Nuggets. And last Thursday night and Friday night, the Warriors were emphatic with what their bar is, what they can achieve. I for the life of me, I think it's funny to sit here a week later and sort of doubt them at their ceiling. The Western Conference is what it is. Nobody's going to run through this thing with ease. The Warriors may not. They may be a first round out. I don't know, but I stand exactly where I stood last Friday morning when I said that was the one I needed to see. I've seen what I needed to see. And then, by the way, they did it again that night against the Denver Nuggets. I have full belief that the Warriors are going to do what is needed over the next, whether it's 24, 48, 72, hell, even if Tuesday comes into play, they're going to do what they have to do to get themselves into a spot where they can advance.
They should. I mean, it's right there in front of them. You've got a Portland team that you should win 9 out of 10. You should probably beat them 19 out of 20, and yet you only get to play them once. And then the Clipper game is an interesting one, and you don't know exactly which Clipper team is going to show up. And, you know, what they've been since you acquired Jimmy Butler is pretty much mediocre. They're actually, I think, just about right where they were, slightly better than their playoff seeding at the time when you acquired Jimmy Butler, and you've been one of the best teams in basketball. So they've never faced this Warrior team, and I get that, and the Warriors will treat it like a playoff game, and so you go out there and you win that game, and then you're assured a top six, and then you get a week off, and you can figure out exactly where you go from there. I do think tonight is interesting for a number of reasons, not only because the Warriors play their final game on the road, but you've got all 30 teams in action. So you got 15 games tonight, no games tomorrow, 15 games on Sunday.
Right.
Which I think is kind of a neat thing that the league did.
Totally.
To give everybody, in the last 3 days, you all have two games. You got one on Friday, you got one on Sunday. Nobody plays on Saturday, so we can all watch the Masters or do whatever you want to do sports-wise, and then Sunday, you gear up and everybody's in action.
All at the same time.
Yeah.
The whole Eastern Conference at 10 a.m., the entire Western Conference at 12:30, all tipping off at exactly the same time. I do want to throw out there, you know, what you mentioned about the Clippers kind of being mediocre since the trade deadline. They went through a tough stretch in February where they lost 6 of 7 games. Since then, and that takes us to March 5th, they've only lost 3 times. If you do want to go back a month, I think I could argue the Clippers have been the best team in basketball. So they're playing phenomenal, and that does coincide to a degree when with Kawhi Leonard starting to play ball and being healthy. And so they are a very scary team. I do think there's some scenarios that could unfold before Sunday that would make it so that the Clippers put their guard down a little bit. We'll know more after tonight. Like you said, everybody's going to get a game in tonight. All right, let's take some calls. 888-957-9570. We'd love to hear from you on your Warrior thoughts heading into the weekend, your confidence level as we got two games to go, and then it's postseason time. GPD is on the line. Haven't heard from him in a while. GPD and Hayward, what's going on, Grandpa Daddy?
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? Dibs. What's up, Mark? Love you guys, man. You know, always. I have nothing. The glass is half full. You were right, Mark. They did what they were supposed to do. They beat the Lakers. They beat the Denver Nuggets. They got it in them. And I just want to say, why is everybody talking about Kuminga? Look, bro, this is a J-O-B. If you can't do the job, you're going to sit on the bench. We're going to put the best man. I'm tired of hearing about John Kuminga this, Jonathan Kuminga this and that. Bro, he's been in the league, like you said, for 4 years. Look, if you ain't stepping up to the plate, then you don't get to swing the bat. No way. I'm telling you, I got faith in him. And Spur is right, man. I'm tired of people talking crap about Kerr. Dude, if you can do the job better, get your butt up in there. You ain't no coach in the NBA, okay? It's a hard J-O-B. Kerr, you're doing a great job. We love you. Hey, peace. Love you guys, man. You guys make my freaking day. Thank you, baby.
GPD, you're the man. Yeah, that's a take right there. Let me get this off real quick before we respond to GPD. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.